This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
Hello, and welcome back to Musings on Greek Literature. This is Season 3,
Episode 6.
My name is Ava Norman, and I'll be your host today as we dive deeper into Medea's character, looking specifically at the simile in Argonautica, Book 3, lines 656 through 664. And later on, I'm going to be joined by my co-host, Liberty, who's going to help us just look at what the simile says about Medea as a character, and also what it says about Apollonius as a writer, and the influences that Homer and Euripides had on Apollonius, and the influences that Apollonius may have had on Virgil as well. So since our last episode, Argus has gone to his mother Chalciope to ask her to seek Medea's help as Jason is trying to complete Aeetes' challenge. And in that time, we also see Medea as she's suffering a nightmare in which Jason has come to complete this task, not for the sake of his quest, but so that he can lead Medea as his wife away from her family. This is deeply troubling to Medea, and she starts to explore all of these feelings of just feeling conflicted about wanting to help Jason, but also struggling with her identity as a member of her family, as a member of her community, and just trying to figure out what she needs to do so she gets out of bed. And she just really just, she talks to herself a little bit. And we get this really interesting monologue almost of just her internal dialogue about expressing her frustrations with her experience and with her love for Jason. And then she tries to reach out to her sister. She makes an attempt after attempt to leave her bedroom, which she cannot do. She falls back onto her bed, and that's when we see this simile that we're going to be going into in the body of this episode. All right, so I'm joined now by my co-host, Liberty. Liberty, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to just kind of dive right in to that simile, and I'm going to start that off by just reading a translation of it just to give us some context for where we're at. And again, these are lines 656 through 664 of Book 3 of the Argonautica. It says, "As when some bride in her bedroom mourns her youthful husband to whom her brothers and parents have sent her, nor yet does she mingle together with all her attendants for shame and for thoughtfulness, and she sits alone in her grief. And some fate has destroyed him before they both could partake in the pleasure of one another. And burning within, she weeps greatly in silence, beholding the widowed bed, lest the women should taunt and scoff at her. Like her did Medea mourn." So as we're looking at this simile, I'd just like to know, Liberty, kind of some initial thoughts you have. Like, what does this reveal about Medea's character?
Yeah, so at least from the translation, it kind of reveals more or less Medea's thoughts on how she wants to be presented within the society. More or less how she is presented to the women in society and her grief and sadness, especially in the situation that she is in with Jason. I think the simile is really powerful, though, just because you can really dig a little bit deeper into why Medea is in such a grief like state of being. But I think she just is a little worried about virtue and being a virtuous woman, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I think that this is just such an interesting look into Medea's like deep concern with her appearance and with the way that she's perceived. And you can see that conflict in her. And even in the previous lines and in the context of the simile, she's really struggling with what she should do, because on the one hand, she can help Jason, which she wants to do. But on the other hand, her station demands that she not do that. And it's not the proper thing for her to do. And we see that conflict even in this simile, where she's, you know, compared to this young woman who is, she's grieving and upset and feeling these deep emotions, but she has to present a different face or even just remove herself entirely from her social context so that she isn't embarrassed and, like, you know, mocked by the people around her. And I think that that's just, the simile itself and the content of it is interesting. It's also interesting to think about this simile as a feature of Homeric epic and just a way that Apollonius is interacting with Homer. And yeah, we see that in just, I think most of us would acknowledge that similes are so prevalent in Homer. You see them everywhere. Can't hardly read without seeing a simile. But we see Apollonius doing something a little different here in that he's not comparing a human experience with a natural one. He's comparing one human experience to another, which is different from a lot of the similes we see in Homer. And I just think it helps us see how this feeling, these feelings of grief and shame, are so human that they're not the kinds of things that we can compare to natural experiences or natural surroundings. Liberty, I don't know if you have any other thoughts about that as well.
I definitely agree about that human experience, but specifically a woman's human experience within this time period and even now in some ways. Just having that pressure put on you by this society to act a certain way, to present yourself a certain way. I think it's really prevalent to look at it because Medea is such a complex character. She has all these emotions, and I feel like in most of these like Homeric stories and Apollonius, you don't see that a lot. You don't see it in a lot of Greek literature and epics and stuff, where you see the actual complexity of a female character, just because they're there to streamline the plot, not really to be a part of it. And I think that's what makes Medea so much more special, because she, her actions lead to certain consequences, especially, and just really demonstrating what it's like to be a woman.
Yeah, and I think that that's so true from the simile, and even just from the lines coming before this, when we see Medea talking to herself and she's really wrestling with all of these difficult emotions. And we see in lines 639 and 640, where she says, "Let him be mindful of some Achaean girl from his far off land, and let maidenly things be a care for me and my parents' house." So we see her trying desperately to distance Jason from herself, and just to hold and like to cling on to these roles and these stations where she feels that she should fit. And she's willing to disregard her emotions and like let these, she wants these emotions taken away from her so that she can continue to participate in society and in her social circles in the way that she feels that she is supposed to. And I think that this is just, yeah, such an interesting feature of Medea's character, as seen in this passage, is just so much inner turmoil and so much desire to just hold on to the things that are of her family, because that's where she's supposed to be. And I think that that also just, these ideas of like her really struggling with these feelings and really wanting to cling on to her family, and then as we think about the context of this mythology and thinking even to Euripides' Medea, when we see Medea wrestling and struggling with Jason leaving and leaving her helpless when she's chosen him over these other things. And she ultimately decides to help Jason and he abandons her and chooses higher station over her and a better social standing over her and her children. And she's given up everything to be with him. And I think that just keeping that in mind as we see her here in this passage, as she's wrestling with these things and then thinking to Euripides' Medea about how she's having to deal with the aftermath of the way that Jason handles this situation, just adds a level of depth that I think that Apollonius could have been hoping that his audience would see in his work. So Liberty, I don't know, do you think that he's calling to mind this Euripides? And if he is, like, what does that add to our understanding of this passage?
Yeah, I definitely think he definitely took Euripides right out there and just decided to make her backstory. The whole story of Medea from Euripides is more or less the additional complexity of her character, because she is trying to go back and think about why he is leaving her, what she's going to do after that. And then, of course, you know, all the events that happen with her children and then his future fiance. I think that grief is applied in a different context. So if, like, for the grief in this simile, it's showing her how her indecision is. But I think the grief in the Euripides context is straight, like, she is so grief-stricken that he's leaving her that it's become anger. Mm-hmm. And I think you can see the, like, the streamline of her consciousness of emotions and all this, like, crazy backstory that she ends up doing later on. Like, she genuinely feels this anger and this hatred for Jason, when in reality, in the beginning, she was like fully in love with him. Mm-hmm. Which I think having Apollonius's version lends more to the Euripides version as well, not just the other way around, just because you wouldn't really understand Medea's, like, why she's angry without this context. But I think that grief is, like, the core to Medea's story, and I like how it applies in different situations, especially with Euripides. My thoughts on it, at least for now. If something else comes up.
Yes, thank you for that insight. I think that that's just very true, just to see how they work together and they're intertwined, especially because we have the interesting situation of Euripides having written earlier and Apollonius talking about something that happens before the events of Euripides' Medea. So we have this kind of interconnectedness of it, but it's still... they're interacting with each other in so many different levels. And even talking about the way that Apollonius interacts with other writers, I also just found it so interesting how Apollonius's Medea in these lines just really reminds me of Virgil's Dido in the Aeneid, and just the way that she also has a man come on her shores from a foreign country, and she falls in love with him, and very much contrary to her station and her responsibilities, she chooses a relationship with him, and does so at great personal risk. And Dido is in a position of power. She's the queen. She's supposed to be marrying someone who is politically advantageous to her country, and instead she falls in love with Aeneas and is helpful to Aeneas in his journey, but ultimately Aeneas leaves her as well. and does so because his journey is meant to continue on. And Dido struggles tremendously with that and tells him all the ways of like, this is, you're leaving me and you're abandoning me. She's given up everything for him. And this drives Dido to kill herself in much the same way that we see Medea. Just Medea's grief leads her to so much destruction in Euripides' Medea. And we see that same kind of destruction and grief in Dido, in the Aeneid. Of course, these are like different, they're different stories, but then we also see not only how Apollonius has been influenced by Euripides and by Homer, but we see how his characters could have been influential to Virgil as he was writing his Aeneid. And these are just, this is just one example of a character who just seems to get a lot of their, a lot of the same kinds of depth that Medea has are things that we see in Dido's character. And we see them come to similar ends. And they serve similar purposes, although one could argue that Medea is more helpful to Jason than Dido ends up being to Aeneas. But yeah, we see them being stops along their hero's journey, but they themselves risk and lose everything for these heroes. And I think that those are just really interesting parallels in the characters. Yeah, Liberty, thank you so much for joining me as we talk about this just very interesting and very complex simile and this passage today.
Yeah, thank you.
As we're wrapping up, I also just wanted to share a few thoughts and a little bit about my experience just putting together this podcast material and the lesson that came with it. I really enjoyed this project and just getting to look at this passage in a focused way and in a way that was communicable to my classmates and my peers. And just, I really benefited from thinking about the passage, not only just as something to translate, but also as something with literary value. I also really enjoyed trying to figure out what types of questions would I be asked? What kinds of things are we going to talk about in class? What does it look like to have a conversation about this Greek and about this story? What does it look like to kind of be the mediator of that conversation? Those are all kinds of things that I was thinking about as I was developing this material. And I found that very rewarding just to be able to fill a 50-minute class period with a conversation about this Greek. Definitely did not think I would be able to do that. So being able to fill that time successfully and in a meaningful way was definitely rewarding for me. And I definitely will just continue thinking about what it looks like to put together class material, just as I'm thinking about other projects that I might have in the future. What does it look like for me to look at this material, not only for my own benefit, but to look at it in a way that I think will be beneficial to others that I might share it with? All right, this has been Season 3, Episode 7 of Musings on Greek Literature. And I just wanted to thank y'all for listening today as we've just dove into Medea's character and the ways that this simile functions in the poem and also provides context for the ways Apollonius is interacting with these other writers. Join us next time. Liberty is going to be continuing to just help us understand more of Medea's characters as she looks specifically at the complexity of Medea's anxieties and her virtues and just richness as a character. As always, please feel free to leave comments and feedback in this podcast below. Just again, thank y'all for listening. Have a great rest of your day.